I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There are two things that dance can never be again. Beautiful and cheerful.
You're living with dangerous people.
Why does everyone think the worst is over?
Welcome to The Syndicate, a film and TV podcast. Be a part of the conversation as industry insiders, genre lovers, and cinephiles dare to peek beyond the curtains of imagination and dive into the art of cinema. Join us as we want you to spend less time scrolling and more time watching. Now here's your host, Armand Haddad.
Allie, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me. I thought I might have gotten canceled.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't watch the movie last time.
Yeah, I was so nervous. I was like, he's never gonna have me back. Oh my god,
that was like the best moment ever. As we're going to errands, you're like, so yeah, are we gonna watch it there? Are we gonna go to the movies? It was Violent Night, everyone. And I was like, oh god, it was like a moment in a sitcom. It's like record scratch, fade to black and white. Probably wondering how I got here. But no, we did watch the movie that we're going to be talking about today. Last year, we talked about Suspiria by Dario Argento from 1977. And now we're talking about the remake from 2018 by Luca Guadagnino. Guadagnino, another Italian man. But anyways, Allie, since this is our first time watching this movie once again, what were your first impressions turning off this movie?
My first impressions as the movie started, switching it up a little bit, was I had to pause and go, am I watching the right movie? Is this the remake or is this like one of the sequels? Which one did I pick? But no, it was right. I got my dinner during half of it and I had to come back to it because it was long. It was long.
It's two
they
and
added
half
like
hours.
50 more minutes.
Yeah.
Some for the better, some not. It was bizarre. I came out very unsettled and not a good unsettled, I feel.
You were shook.
Shook. Yeah. I forgot about that word.
I think that's an appropriate response to this film because, like, there are moments where I paused it because, like, you know, Suspiria 1977, even though it is a slasher, a proto-slasher film of the time, it was still artistic in a way,
yes.
Especially with the art direction, the colors and the music and everything all about set design. With this, it's like, okay, we're going to, like, go into the underworld. And it's like this dark, drab movie. And it's like super gory and very, very unsettling. There's many sequences where I'm like, oh my God, I'm like cringing in my seat. And then I thought to myself, Allie's going to think I'm a psycho for recommending this movie.
No, I would never think you're a psycho. It felt like more of those one, like, hey, we watched this. It's like a fun friend watched together. Yes. Like one of those. And then we didn't know what we were getting into. So it was an adventure.
Let's put it on and find out.
Yeah.
So.
And we did.
Oh, we found. Yeah, we fucked around and then we found out. Yeah, I mean, this is like, I mean, it is comparing apples and oranges with like the original film versus the remake, because like, even though structurally they're very similar, it's about this American young woman that joins a dance group in Germany. Like, that's like the core of the film. And then there's witches. With the original film, which I was pleasant, I enjoyed how it was structured, where like you didn't really know what was happening until like, pretty close to the end, like, oh my God, it's a coven of witches. They're killing everybody. With this movie, it's like within the first 5 minutes, it's like, and it's about witches.
Yeah. So it like makes sense, the changes they made by letting you know they're witches up front. Like, it makes sense what, I don't know. They made so many good decisions that didn't really interconnect, I feel. I don't know.
What do you mean by
that? I feel like a lot of the decisions, like the twist at the end, it just, all of them feel like, oh, this would be really cool. This is like, would make a good story, but it just didn't, I don't know. It didn't connect for me a little bit. I don't want to like give the twist away right now. So that's why I'm being very vague.
Okay. We'll get into it in a little bit then.
Yeah. Maybe it'll come together at the end.
It'll come together in the end.
Just the weird like in spaghetti the in my brain. Yeah. I will say I'm happy they took out one good change I liked, was taking out the weird like dude love interest for the main girl from the original.
Who was the love interest? Was it like the inspector?
It was like one of the boys who worked at the place.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, I remember. Okay. Yeah, because in the first movie, one of the dudes was like borderline creepy, peeping Tom type thing. Cause it's like an all girl thing. Yet there's dudes there. I mean, it could be dude witches, warlocks, wizards.
Yeah. Well, but they needed boys in the dance group too, right? Didn't they lift some of the girls?
Yeah, it was ballet. Yeah. In the okay. Yeah. That's a good distinction, because in the first film it was ballet and you need dudes to lift the ballerinas. With this, it's more, I don't want to say jazz, but it wasn't ballet. It was very free form, very modern.
Yeah.
So, So I guess in that case, the film can get away with the all-girl dance group, because I think that lends more into the theme of, like, witches, femininity, which we're going to get into with this film, because I think it's very important, because like a whole bunch of people can watch the Suspiria remake and leave with different things about like what it means to be like a feminist or to be a woman. Was it intertwining with witchcraft in some way?
As someone who I dabble in my witchcraft, like I'm definitely not a Wiccan, because that's a religion and you really have to dedicate time to practice and that. I'm more of, I think, probably eclectic. So I really like my candles and stuff. And I'm like more of a cutesy witch. So sometimes I'm just like, this is really gross. But I know there are some people who like this, but it's not me.
I know you have quartz.
My quartz?
Yeah. Don't you have quartz?
Oh, yeah. The I heard cords. I'm like, I have some string. I'm like, yeah, I have different colors. Quartz. I use them for my spells. But yes, quartz. I do. Yes, I have some quartz.
I'm sorry. I know you have rocks. I just said rocks. Stones.
Yes, I have rocks.
Charge them in the moon.
I'm so bad about like my moon stuff. I miss the moon phases. I'm a new moon girly. Like, I work with the new moon, and then I like my candles. Like candles, some big candles. Yeah, candle colors. Yeah, use yellow. Yellow's my favorite. That's it. Use yellow candles.
Ah, yes, yellow. Okay, let's get into the film. We are dancing upon the themes of witchcraft and ghoulies. So, Allie, we talked a little bit about it. It's about dancers. Talked about Germany a little bit, but like, can you give a little bit more in-depth summary of what Suspiria 2018 is all about.
Suspiria 2018. Okay, when I don't know what to say, I call putting its spaghetti on the table. You throw the spaghetti down and you look at it and you try to figure out what the heck it is. I would describe this movie as putting spaghetti on the table. Like, there were a lot of moving parts, but didn't all connect for me. I think there was really cool, like, so my summary is this girl goes to dance academy.
That's right.
So this is the disconnect for me.
All right, here we go.
The original is really about Susie. Yes. And her going through this, and this just like doesn't start really with Susie.
No.
And we see her story, but there's really just, it's a really weird, I think it's about Suspiria. They made Suspiria more of the main character, mm-hmm. you know, it's mm-hmm. her story.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to reframe the whole thing in my mind and see if I like this idea. I guess I like it when I think about it that way, but it just, I don't know.
You're
sometimes
deconstructing
I just, it live. I don't want, yeah. Sometimes I don't want to watch a movie four times to be like, I kind of get it. I think I know what they're going for. I'm old. Right. I don't got the time anymore.
let's get into it mm-hmm. with this film. Cause like in the first movie, the story is pretty light. It's pretty. Yeah. You don't really have to pay attention to this film. With the new one, however, it's so steeped in lore and about world building with like the whole, like if Suspiria was going to be like a book, like this felt like the novel, while the original Suspiria felt like, hey, let's make a movie. There's witches. There's girls dancing. There's
jazz.
There's like a vampire at one point at the end. And we're like, did Dario Argento meant to make a vampire movie? Vampiria? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, with the new one, it's like, you know, there's like these three mothers, and one of them is Suspirium, and it's like, whoa. And it's like taking place in 1977 Berlin, about like the Berlin Wall and like segregation between like East and West Germany. And like one of the characters, the detective, is fleshed out. He's like a survivor from the Third Reich, and I'm like, whoa. And at the center of all this is this dance school that's free, and it's about Susie. Because in the first movie, it was like, you need to pay $150 a week. I'm like, that's an expensive school.
Yeah.
And this, it's, quote, free.
You can't trust a free thing. I guess they're kind of playing on Americans being stupid. That's what I get from that scene. Don't take a free thing. Don't trust it.
All right. There's no free lunch.
Yep.
But we'll get into it later.
Well,
was
maybe
American
it was
really
a free
stupid,
lunch.
If you know what I mean? But yeah, this movie, like, first of all, the entire cast is incredible. I didn't know Tilda Swinton was in it. I didn't know Dakota Johnson was in it. I didn't even know Mia Goth was in it. Like,
Who's Mia Goth?
She was the person that played Sarah. Opposite to Dakota Johnson's character.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. She was great.
I know. Oh, my God. I was like, this is incredible. I could see why she essentially got a trilogy given to her. If you don't know, she was in X, Pearl, and then there's going to be a third one coming out. Do you know about these movies?
No.
Oh, let me tell you. She is one of the queens of A24. Mia Goth.
Oh, okay.
Now you know who I'm talking about.
No, I just know A24, and I've enjoyed every movie I've watched so far of there, so I will definitely go check it out after.
Yes, go check it out. X is the first one, and then Pearl is the second one. But Pearl is a prequel to X, and X, it's like Star Wars. It's a Star Wars. Of the horror movies.
It's A24 Star Wars. Okay.
A24 Star Wars horror movies. But anyways, back to Suspiria. Yeah, I mean, the cast was just incredible. And because of these actors just giving it their all, this elevated the entire movie for me.
Yeah. I feel like there's so many parts that should have worked. The actors were great. The cinematography was great. But there's just... I don't know, some of the shots to make it feel so much like the original really disconnected for me. Like, I feel like maybe they really needed to figure out what they were going to keep to pull from the original. I don't know.
Okay, Allie.
Yes.
Let's get into it. What did not work for you? What didn't work?
I feel like I'm still kind of sitting on it. Like, maybe it's because I'm shook. Maybe because my view of witchcraft's different. Maybe I'm still kind of trying to, like, pull out that part.
Okay.
One part, it was like the end scene. I think I got really disconnected because the cinematography was really great, but it didn't have the colors. Like that, you sent me the meme of the Suspiria 1977, the girl with all the hair, and then the goth girl for 2018. Yeah. Just like that was how I felt. I missed the colors. I really did. I know it's own separate thing. It definitely felt like they wanted to highlight the bleakness and the loss of colors with, you know, and then the Holocaust stuff going on with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just didn't really know what to focus on. And I definitely, with as someone with ADHD, and like, so movies are kind of hard for me. So I just felt I wasn't engaged as much. I felt like it was very slow to me. But the thing is, we need slower movies because we're getting so fast paced. I feel like that meme of Sabrina with all the plates of like pancakes. I'm like, I don't know where to start. You know?
Oh my God. This is, I just love how in the same breath, you're like, I love A24, but this movie was too slow for me. Like A24, all their movies, almost all of them, are like slow paced, the slow zoom that everyone copies now. But like with Suspiria, there was a lot going on with this movie.
Yeah.
Because like you had the A plot, which is about Susie and her journey in this dance group. You also have at the same time the inspector, who's the Holocaust survivor, who catches wind about like rumors of like witches and this coven within Berlin, because the beginning of the movie, how we the audience are onboarded to this journey, is somehow this girl escapes the coven, and I think her eyes are like plucked out or something. She's like, they're witches, which prompts his character to be like, well, I have to investigate this. So we had that going on, and then we have his backstory of like him when he was younger fleeing from Nazi Germany with his fiance or his wife or his girlfriend, somebody.
Yeah.
And Anka. Yes. And it's like,
that was like the whole movie. I'm like, which one is Anka? Like, I know this is going to come back. I'm like trying to be my own investigator.
like you said, it was a plate of like, as you're going through this, I could see why the plate of spaghetti analogy works, because like as you're going through it, it's like, how is all this connecting?
Yeah.
And then by the time you get to the end, you're like, oh, it does connect. You don't feel that way. You think it's still disconnected, and I want to know why. We're going into spoilers. Screw it. Let's do it. Let's talk about this movie proper.
Okay.
What didn't work?
Let me get my
busting her notes out.
The thing is, like, I didn't even finish my notes because I was like, what am I watching?
You put the pen down and then the film captured you and you're like, what am I watching?
Yeah, but I think that's probably perfect because I stopped watching right when it was like the end and you're like watching. Okay, let's just go. No, we got to stop beating around the bush. We just got to go through it. So the movie, it started different. And so it started with that girl and there's the protest going on. I didn't catch that her eyes were gone. I just thought I thought she still could see because she was putting all the everything down with eyes. And I really like,
it was
liked,
dark. I couldn't see anything.
One thing I really liked that they had was I liked the eye imagery. They went through different things. They like started with eye imagery and I don't know. I didn't see a lot of them including that at the end, but that's whatever. I feel like they moved to breath work, which was really good with the dancing. And then there was the very good imagery at the end with the hands. That was my favorite. I love the storytelling with the hands, how she wanted to be their hands. And then when the stuff, when stuff happens and it's like things weren't going her way, when stuff happened with Sarah, she put the gloves on and was like, I'm not your hands anymore. That's that story. I don't know. I love showing, not telling, small details like that. There was a lot of good work in the script, and that worked for me very much so. So that, I guess that was really cool storytelling. I forgot to go back to the story. Anyway, where are we at? Yeah. So she goes in and talks to that guy, and he's like, this girl is crazy. There's no witches. And then we finally get to Sarah. And that's what, at first, I was like, what movie am I watching? Is this the sequel? No. I also wonder if this movie would have worked more for me if I saw all three of the Suspirias, you know?
Right. Because the original Suspiria has kind of two sequels.
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm missing there. And I also wonder if I would have loved this more had we not seen the original.
That's right. Because, like, we have the... Because, like, given... In an alternate timeline, if we watched this last year and then this year, I was like, hey, let's go and watch the original. How would we approach that original film? You know? So it's like we had the context of the 1970s Suspiria and how that was a whole thing, art direction, everything. And we're looking at this and it does its own thing. It's a complete, like the story is like almost the same. And I do appreciate that with a remake. I'm glad. I think it would be kind of weird if the director did a straight aesthetic remake of the 1977 Suspiria. I just think it would be strange.
Like it would be strange. I do wish maybe the color grading brought more of like the reds out or some kind of nod to how the colors were at least. Or maybe maybe doing more like the architecture was really pretty for the school, but I wish maybe they had thought about maybe the glass being more similar, something to tie it into some of the cool art of the first film.
Right. Because like the first film is, I think I said it on the podcast, it was like a surrealist painting.
Yeah.
Like it was like watching art. In like the set design, the color grading, and then with this, it's like a realistic approach to the story. Because like it's set in Germany, you have like of the time architecture, like the stone, brutalist
buildings. I guess then you could say the like the dance, they kind of tie it in by saying the dances are and they have the red chords and the red kind of nods to it. I guess that's a good way to show that.
Right.
I guess I don't always have to be happy about the choice they made.
There were moments where I was like, oh, there's a Suspiria. with the using like the red gels or blue or purple, whatever, for brief moments where I'm like, oh, there it is. There's the nod. But like most of the color palette is muted.
Yes, very muted. I felt like I really wanted to go back and watch the old Suspiria, but I didn't have time. But I felt like that two-way or the one-way mirror or whatever with the zoom on to Sarah. Did they have the zooms like that in the first one? Or no? Because that kind of reminded me of it. Or is that A24's kind of thing?
In the first film, is what they call crash zoom, where they zoom in really quick.
It's like, yeah.
Boom! Into Sarah's face, and she's like, scared. It's like very atmospheric and it lets the scenes breathe. Mm-hmm. Especially, and I think I don't know if it's the first act or second act, with that pretty important scene that happens early in the film with Dakota Johnson's character as she is, I guess it's like, you know what? You know, okay. This is how I can best describe it. It's passing the Rubicon, the point of no return. Because, like, when she joins this dance group, she's the newbie. She's the new one. She's the FNG, the fucking new girl. And she has to prove herself. And she's a really good dancer. And Madame Blanc, the supreme of this coven, is like, she sees the potentiality in Susie, and she's like, oh, I thought it was Sarah, but it's actually Susie. And she holds her hands. And I don't know if you noticed this, but like when she took her hands away from her hands, there's a slight glow in her hands and also on her feet.
Yes.
So there's some sort of spell bestowed upon her, or even the essence of Suspiria bestowed to her. And as she was dancing, she was killing off the sacrifice to
Olga.
Yeah, Olga.
Yeah, Olga tried to leave because she was upset about Patricia, and she called them witches, and then they like laughed about it, and then she passed the energy on and in her dance, which I do think that's really cool. Like, I don't like watching stuff like that because I'm like, oh no, they're getting hurt. But like, that's really cool writing. I like how it's like they use the dance, moving their body is their magic, and that's mm-hmm. your body is where your magic comes from, you. So it's definitely, they researched magic, and they even showing Patricia's journals, it showed that they put thought into how they wanted their magic system to work, which is pretty cool. And I think that kind of disconnects to me at the end with the scene, I guess. But I think what they built up to that final scene, it felt very like there's the structure to their magic right now. And I like that.
As I was watching, I was like, is this real? Is this real magic I'm witnessing right now? Because it seems... So they did their research.
It seemed like a little bit there. And I think at this point too, we still don't know. Like, they're throwing out witches, they're throwing them out, this place is scary, so we're not like brought into it yet, like kind of like the original Suspiria, like you were saying. So there's still that like, holy crap, we're showing you how real, how raw these witches are, like this is scary stuff. I don't know. I don't like watching that stuff because I'm a baby, but I think it's a very good scene. I think this is like one of their top moments for me in the movie.
Definitely memorable, because like as I was watching, I'm like, oh my god. Like,
I was just ouchy.
Oh my god. It was so unsettling and unnerving. Like with the original Suspiria, you had pretty extreme gore going on, but like in the back of your mind, it's like, this is fake. It's very stylized, like super red blood. And with this, it's like, I am almost, they make it seem so real. It seems so visceral of like this girl's body contorting as Dakota Johnson's character is dancing and twisting her body artistically. Olga's body is like being destroyed and like crumpled up and folded in ways. And I'm like, oh my god, this is rough.
They definitely killed it with the wanting everything to be realistic.
I'm like, no pun intended.
Yes.
And I pause the movie. I'm like, Allie's gonna think I'm crazy.
No. I want you to invite me back.
Yes,
no.
Yes. No. Not at all. No. We're gonna watch Suspiria 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Is there a second one to this?
No.
Or Amazon's like, we're done. Ouch, we're done.
This, like, I remember when this came out. This is kind of how I found out about Suspiria to begin with, is because of this remake. And there was a lot of hot takes regarding this. Like, people loved it or people hated it. People were like, oh, no. People were like, yes, queen.
I think, I feel both of those things. Inside me are two wolves, and it's those things.
It's like the yin and the yang. It's like, I hate this movie, and yet I love it at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the spaghetti I'm working through.
I mean, that's a complex piece of art, I would say, because like, it's eliciting so many emotions out of you. It's not like, oh yeah, that was good. It's like, what did I just experience watching this film? And the key difference, and I want to get into it because I think this is where the disconnect for you might occur, is with the first movie, we had Susie's journey, and then she realizes, oh my God, I'm in the midst of a coven of witches. I need to get out of here.
Yep.
And then I think at the end of the movie, she kills them all because she lights the building on fire.
Yes.
With Suspiria Remake, Susie's character becomes the leader of the coven.
Yes. And she only kills half of them.
Yeah.
And it's so when we're first introduced to them, really, as the coven, they're voting on who they want to be the leader of the coven.
Yeah. Marcos.
Yes. And so it ties into the end because which is interesting. Because I didn't really pick up when Susie kind of really became Suspiria. Is it maybe when she made that decision and puts on her glove, she just kind of decided she wanted that? Or was there a moment when, like, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself and we can get to it. Because the
answer is I don't know.
Okay. Because they talk about how maybe I was just taking it literally, the old man who is the witness, they call him. So he's supposed to tell the story of this, right. Which was Susie the witness in the first one.
She's a survivor. She was essentially the final girl, and she would essentially tell the story of what she encountered. Like, oh my God, there's these witches.
Okay. So in this one, what was it? The old man tells us that there were three mothers that predate even Christian ideologies, yep. Suspirium, Tenenbaum, and then I could not hear or understand half the words he was saying. So I don't know what the third one. I'm guessing it's something
German.
Well, so I think it was, but in the picture there's Marcos and then there's Blanc, but then there's a space there. So the third one is missing. So there should be like some. So what happened to Suspirium and that lady? And it's like, is her soul floating around? Did it actually go into her? Was she born and actually that the whole time? And I don't know. See, that's the disconnect for me. I'm like, you didn't finish the story for me. I'm missing.
Here's the thing. I'm starting to realize, okay, as the movie progressed, we had that rainbow prism-like energy. That could have been Suspirium.
Oh, because I thought that was like Blanc, like... Because is all the Marcos people died, right? Because
yeah.
She was going to take her body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Blanc people are still there. So Blanc probably loves Suspirium. Was the Suspirium Anka then? Because they talked about, and she died in that camp. And they lived. And so maybe that thing is, because Anka saw the old man. Okay, Anka is, so that's why she came and was nice to him. Anka is Suspirium. Okay, that's my guess, right? That's a solid theory.
Okay. I didn't interpret it that way because, like, I thought.
Because why else would. I mean, I guess she's coven mother, so she can be like, sorry, we kind of like torture you, old man. My bad. Peace.
Right. they needed a witness. Well, they needed a sacrifice, and they were going to sacrifice him because. They thought he was like a bad guy. He's like, I did nothing wrong. There's guilty men. I am not one of them. But like, I thought they lured him in using. They like tricked him like, oh, I'm Ankh. I didn't die. I lived. I didn't know. And then it was revealed. I was just taking it literally. Dakota Johnson at the end of the movie was like, listen, let me tell you the truth about your former lover. Like. She tried to escape Germany. She got caught. She was put in the camp, and then she died in the camp. So, like, oh, I was like, oh, my God.
I mean, that's also, I did take it literally. I just want to know who's missing in the picture. I just want to know who Suspiria is. Like, is it supposed to be her then? Finish the picture. Is there some art out there? Do they have the picture? Did they think about that? Did they do this to just drive me insane specifically?
I'll
finish the picture.
Luca, the director wanted to. I mean, he listened to this conversation because, like, if he spelled it all out, we wouldn't be talking about who the third person is.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I guess.
It's up to your interpretation, no, Allie. And you think it's Ankh. I think it's Dakota Johnson's character, Susie.
Well, no, it is. You think so the whole time? You think it was Susie? When did Ankh die? And when was Susie born?
I mean, Ankh died in 1943, and this takes place in 1977. Her character...
She's too young.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think... So the weird light thing, I saw that as the Blanc kind of like... Because she was doing... giving them the nightmares, it seemed like, right? So I wonder if she was, like, projecting herself. I don't know. That wasn't super clear to me. It didn't have to be clear. Like, it doesn't super matter to me. But if it is, like, the soul of Ankh or the soul of Suspiria, I don't know. I just want my, like, mysteries to be a little less mysterious.
You just want everything to be a nice little bow at the end.
No, not always.
You wanted the football team to come in and be like, that's it, we're going to kill these witches. And at the end of the movie, it's like, all right, I'm going to college.
Is this the Buffy ending?
Yes, exactly. You wanted Buffy to come in and kill everybody in the gymnasium.
It kind of happened. Okay, the other disconnect was the scene we've kind of talked about now at the end where she like kills the people who voted for Marcos. Mm-hmm. It just reminded me of like Doctor Who BBC a little bit with the explosions. So that kind of took me out because I was like, oh, everything else besides the like the other thing that looked that way, Merlin BBC-esque, was the spirit.
So it looked cheap. With the long exposure shots and everything's all chaotic and you can't really tell and it's all dark.
I don't want to call it cheap. I just think it's a style. And like, I love that stuff. I think it's fun, but we just didn't really have a lot of that in the beginning. So it just felt very like, whoa, different style.
Maybe they ran out of money.
Possible.
They're like, huh, I want this whole cathartic scene, but... I don't know how to do it. Let's just shake the camera a lot. Turn off all the lights and you can't really see what's happening.
Yeah. I don't know.
Trust me, it was crazy if you could see it.
Well, when they woke up, they're like, whoa, that was a crazy party. So, yeah.
That's literally what happened.
Yeah.
Because then you see the aftermath. They're dragging the bodies out and it's like,
whoa.
Either show me her blowing everyone up clearly or don't show it at all. Just leave it to my imagination.
Yeah. This is kind of off. It's a tangent a little bit. One thing that kind of, I don't think I've actually seen Dakota Johnson act. The only thing I really know her from is,
50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades. And I only read the book. I didn't see the movie. So the whole time I'm going like, that's her? So that kind of threw me a little bit. But I did think she did a great job. Like,
she was good.
I think if I watched this the third time, I would have had a very solid idea of how I felt about this film.
You saw it twice?
Yes.
I saw it once. Credits rolled. I got emotional. I was like, oh my God. That was incredible.
I do think I didn't actually watch it 1.5 times because I didn't get through my second watch. But I do think I really was enjoying the script more the second watch through. It just felt very like when you go through the end and know what's coming, you see all the little like seeds they planted, you know?
Right.
And one thing I'm very interested in is there's some lines that they throw out. One of the mothers, I think, says that witches know French. And when we first meet Sarah, when Susie first meets Sarah, she talks about how, what's her face? That Blanc's energy. Is it Blanc? Okay, this is what I'm having trouble with Tilda Swinton's character, because the x-ray on Amazon Prime did not work and said she was Dr. Kemperer, which was the old man.
Oh, I'm about to blow your mind, Allie. She was.
Dr. Kemperer? She's the old man?
Yes.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense because, like, her face looked so rubbery and I didn't want to be, like, mean.
Yeah, she played, yeah.
Oh, thank God.
She played the doctor character.
I was like, this old man.
Madame Blanc.
Okay, thank God, because like that, I was like, that man needs to get some help. It's so rubbery. Okay.
And yes, that was her voicing the character too.
I didn't put it together. I was just so, what is going? The only thing I know Tilda Swinton is really from Marvel, right? Isn't she?
Oh, yeah. She's
that one
the
guy?
Ancient one.
Girl, yeah.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know if I like this revelation.
You thought it was a... I knew right away. I was like, oh, yeah, she plays a dude in this.
How can she... Are we supposed to...
I don't know why she made that decision. I don't know why the production made that decision of, like, maybe it was her idea. Like, hey, I want to play a man. And, like... not say anything about it. Because, like, there isn't, like, a...
They don't, like, connect them, yeah. Like, her character. No, he would have known that was his wife.
I think she just wanted to do something.
See, here's the spaghetti. Like, where do I go from here? Anyway, so the line that they... that Tilda Swinton maybe... Or about Tilda Swinton's... witch character, not yes. Her old man persona. Susie says she has an energy that's transferable. So it's like, it kind of leads you to know that that's coming. But then she says something and Sarah's like, is that French? So it's like, is Sarah more of a witch than she knows? Like, does she know more? Like, but also if those girls are all participating in these witchy things, how many times has she participated in stuff and then her memory is wiped, you know?
Right.
I thought that was a very, on my second watch, like that's as much as I could catch before we started, we're going to talk today. But I don't know, small things like that, I was just like, oh, wow, this next watch, I'm going to pick up such good writing bits that you wouldn't see on your first run. So I think the writings might not get enough credit, you know?
I know what you mean. I didn't see that coming at the end.
No.
She's taking control. I'm trying to relate this to, because it's using your spaghetti analogy, also in the backdrop of the setting, there's like a hostage terrorist situation happening.
Yeah.
Where like these people hijack a plane and they're keeping the people hostages and it's like a political move. And I'm trying to relate that to 1970s Germany. Because also where the coven is, it's right in front of the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
So there's obviously some sort of message about like oppression, and this movie is pretty much all about women. So oppression of women. Like, were you picking up on anything when you were watching this?
Yeah, it was interesting. Like the lines they used when they pulled the old man in, like saying, like, you know, I forgot exactly, but what I remember was like, you don't think about others. Men think they can get away with stuff or stuff like that. So it's very about like women relying on women. Then he was like, wait, no, I'm innocent. And like, I don't know. It was just very interesting from like a feminist perspective of, this is hard because I'm definitely someone like, you know, men's struggles are women's struggles. Like, it's about, you know, us being equal. However, in this film, like, it's 1977 Suspiria, like, the men were not equal to the women in that coven. They were like, they worked for them, right, in that school. Mm-hmm. And this one, they, men were their playthings, kind of like when the police came in and they were doing, like, I think that that moment, I knew that, Sarah wasn't the same Sarah in a sense, or sorry, I keep Susie. Switching them. Susie wasn't the same Susie. Like when she opened that door, saw the witches playing with the men, then closed it. You know it's a different Susie then.
Yeah,
you're like, okay, this is a completely different story. I guess the disconnect for me too is my witchcraft. And my view on those things is just different from maybe this still archaic view of witchcraft. I think the sisterhood was real, but I think there's, I don't know, it was more about still fearing magic to me. And not, I don't know.
Yes and no.
Because my, I don't, yeah. Just my craft's different. So it was very me trying to see what I want. I don't know. It's so hard. See, it's the spaghetti. I can't articulate it yet.
So like this interpretation of witchcraft, it works for a horror movie though.
Yes.
But there is a disconnect between reality and hyper-reality, which is you have to make it sensational. Or else the movie's going to be boring.
Yes.
Yeah, there is that cautionary tale where it's like, well, witches are dangerous. But at the end of the movie, we have this empowering moment with Dakota Johnson's character. Like, she went from, like, nobody to somebody.
Yeah.
She became, like, the new girl to the leader of the whole thing. So it's like, we had that rise to power and... I was thrown off, and I don't know if the movie needs to be 3 hours long or if you need another pass on the script to seed those things in. But like, I felt like I was like, oh,
I think when you were talking about like, here's the A plot, here's the B plot, I think there's just so many moving plots that maybe one of them could have been dialed down or taken aback. And like I did really like learning more about the coven, the cult, but it does feel like a disconnect when they're talking about Patricia and we're like, oh, she would have been so good, but she wanted to be a part of the terrorists or whatever, but she didn't want it. So like there's this like pretending like these girls had a choice, but it doesn't feel like they did. So right. It's just like I don't really know where the coven stands on their ideas because Tilda Swinton's character feels more like she cared about, at least she cared about Susie, but I don't know. I know the coven's motivation is the coven, and Marcos more was greedy at the end. But I just, and maybe that's good and unsettling. It's like won't know what these like old gods would want.
Right.
And one thing is like, I wish I knew more about the girl who didn't really talk, like the witch who killed herself. That's one thing I really wish I had more of.
Because that scene, it was. Was it Sarah, Mia Goth's character, that kind of like possessed her or like influenced her to stab herself?
Well, Sarah was walking.
Because she was in a different location. And then she knew what was happening. And then she tried to get away. I don't know. She's trying to sabotage the group. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a very complicated movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I need one more watch.
Oh, my God. Okay. Like, this film...
Put the spaghetti on the table.
Let's put the spaghetti on the table and let's try to organize this. I want to get off the fence on a couple things.
Okay.
When this movie came out in 2018, it was definitely touted as, like, a feminist movie and about femininity and, like, female witchcraft. And do you think this movie is about feminism? Because a part of me is like, I don't think so.
I don't think so because, okay, this is it. So Tilda Swinton probably played the man because I'm guessing they probably wanted all the characters mostly to be women because they're still the cops, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's like a structure still has the men, but he's supposed to be this, like, right, this innocent man. So maybe that's why she played him. And so you're getting all this gray perspective of a bunch of women. So maybe that's where you see it, as there's all these different types of women and this is their story. Sure. But I also think with feminism, you need those power structure sometimes. I don't know. I definitely think it definitely passes the Bechdel test because it's all women. It's their story, all these women's story.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for women, this is a good movie of like how many women are in it. Like it's yes, in that way is a good win for feminism, but is the story itself? I think you can say yes, because it's a women film, but I don't think I think the story is about, I guess, but it's like semantics though, you know?
On paper, it's a feminist movie, but actually watching it's like,
well, like that's not the
sentiment. Am I leaving empowered from this movie? Is that the sentiment?
I didn't leave that way.
I mean, I'm a guy, but like, I didn't leave with a sense of like, yeah, like,
well, did I feel like, hey, it's different if someone steps into their power, but it felt like this American came, took over the coven and was like, these are my ideas. Like, I like Susie because like, obviously she was upset with what happened with Sarah. She's like, this needs to change. And she changes it. But, you know, because I don't know, I'm still really holding on because I love the glove. I love the glove, the poetry of that. And so it's like, she's like, I'm not your hands anymore. This is my show. I'm taking my power. And she like, it's more of it's a revenge film. This feels more like Carrie, you know?
Yes, exactly. So yeah. In Carrie, she gets the pig blood dumped on her and she kills everybody. In Suspiria 2018, she's like, you know what? You get the glove.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't make me. It's coming back.
Okay, now I actually really like the. See, I didn't say it was bad, the like BBC stuff. Like, I just thought I was just very like thrown off.
You're just thrown off. Like, this movie had a very specific cinematic language it was giving. And then all of a sudden at the end, it's like, let's do something completely different. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Was this like. whose idea was this?
I don't know. Like, I do think I like the original better. I think I'm just on the fence, but I did like the movie. It's like, I was here, and during our discussion, I'm teetering towards liking it.
Wow.
There was so much good in it. Yeah. There was so much good in it and so much work they did. But it's hard. I just love the colors.
Right. Like, for me... So getting off the fence about
feminism.
I mean, it's
a revenge
question.
Film, not a feminist film.
Right. Like, it's awesome that this is a female-led horror film.
Yes.
Thriller, supernatural movie. But like, I wouldn't consider this like a feminist movie. I would say Barbie is more of a pro-woman movie. than Suspiria 2018. Like,
yeah, I think, well, for Barbie, for me, it's like, yeah, an ode to motherhood type of thing. So
and what it means, I guess, to be a woman and all that
stuff. Yeah.
This, you don't have that. You have a girl that was, instead of being brutalized by this system, she takes control of it.
Yes.
So I guess in that way, it's like, oh, girl power, but like, it's in a, like, a horrific way.
I feel like it's also but showing the change in maybe witchcraft over the years, like where everything was coven led, coven leader for the best of the group, and now witchcraft's becoming such an individualism type movement where you find self-care in it. It can also show just how witchcraft is changing and evolving too. I don't know.
Maybe we need a remake Suspiria again.
Whoa. And this time it could be about vampires.
It's about a woman in her apartment
with all her succulents.
Yes. And the battle is within her.
Whoa. And now it's just Osmosis Jones.
Yeah. The coven of viruses, I don't know. She's like, oh. That would be an A24 movie.
Oh.
She'd be like, ah. What?
Did they? Do you remember? I was just looking at my notes and I was had written down the act names because they put this movie in six acts in the epilogue. Did they do the acts in the first one?
No.
Okay, yeah, that felt different. I liked the cards though. That was kind of nice.
It's a good way to structure it.
Yeah. I don't know if it like added, but like it was nice.
It framed it.
Yeah.
It was a frame.
It was a frame.
I want to talk about, okay, so my next question. So we talked about feminism with this film. Let's get off the fence. Which film do you think is better, the original or the remake?
From a purely Allie perspective, I like the original.
Bold.
I think I like the original more.
Based.
Thank you. From your perspective, which one did you like more?
From my perspective, like, I like the story of the remake. It's very rich. There's a lot going on. It made me feel something, which the original did not. However, gotcha. I like the original's art direction.
Yes.
And everything about it aesthetically.
Okay. Yeah.
But if I were to pick one... The original.
Based.
Like, it's so hard because, like, with any remake, it's hard to really supersede the original.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job of trying to make it seem different and expand on it more. But, like, ultimately, it's like, I want my vibrant colors. I want the surrealist adventure.
I think the colors for me are important because I use so much colors in my witchcraft. You know, when you have your crystals, like the colors mean something and which ones you choose. I told you I use candles and the colors are so important. And then glamour witches, glamour magic, what you wear, your colors are so important. And that's something I really missed from like that kind of witchy perspective. It's like, why does every period piece gotta be like, no color? There were colors, you know? I don't know.
Back in time, everything was black and white. When did they invent colors?
I don't know. I think the wizard from the Wizard of Oz invented color. Yeah.
That's when
so
color
we gotta go
in.
See the wizard. Can we have more colors again? Thank you.
No, I mean, Dario Argento's command of color is a thing to be had. And I think... just making it darb. I mean, that's an aesthetic choice, but like, it could be a lazy choice. I'll be bold and say it. Like, it's harder to make a cohesive color palette with like actually utilizing colors in an interesting way, especially vibrant colors.
I think they could have gotten away with just like one or two colors being accented, maybe just in scenes, kind of like how. Maybe that would feel too much like Sixth Sense, where, you know, red symbolizes the horror. Like, I don't know, just that, maybe I just want to see some red.
They could have done it. They could have done it. And, like, we could have had a completely different discussion, too. It's like, how come these scenes are muted and these are vibrant? What does that mean to the overall story being told? Is this actually happening? Is this all in Susie's head?
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a unique approach to Suspiria.
Yeah. Because we did, I guess, in the end scene, they did have greens. Did they have reds, too? I feel like I remember greens.
In with the head end pops? Credits?
No, with the head pops. No?
Head pops?
Didn't they, like, at the end scene, she was just like, you points, and the head just, like, pops.
Oh, I thought it was just red. I don't know. I couldn't see anything. It was dark.
Maybe my brain wanted a green. Oh, this is, okay, this is probably it, because, okay, I was trying to, like, so right before we recorded, I had to run to the store and get a new webcam, but I was trying to do my second watch on, like, a phone, and I'm like, baby, to my boyfriend, I'm like, baby, I can't see anything. Is this your phone? He's like, well, turn it up. I'm like, I can't see anything. So my camera, or my TV in my room, I have it set up for very dark video games. So, like, I could see everything because I have the light up. So I'm
the,
like, what are you talking about? I understand now. Okay.
I was also watching this during the day. And I'm like, fuck, I can't see anything.
Yeah. I'd also wonder, well, Amazon is straight to Amazon, right? This wouldn't have had, did this have a release in theaters?
Yes, because it was before the pandemic. So it would have had a theatrical release.
Okay. Yeah, because colors can be different too, right?
That's true. On the screen.
I do wish they accounted for that on home video, but what can you do?
There's so many different variables of, like, you know, the settings on your monitor or your TV, and
they gotta have the phone setting.
Yeah. Phone setting.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, I'm sure the director would be happy that you watched his film on a phone.
Was my second viewing. I think he'll be happy I watched it two times.
Just how he intended me to watch it. With, like, the UI overlaid on it, the volume.
Stop shaming me.
Again, like, the text alerts dropping. Oh, my God. Okay.
What else are we on the fence about? Was that it?
My final question. Which would you recommend to a friend? The original Suspiria or Suspiria 2018?
I would recommend the original. I made a joke to my partner today. When you, if you had asked me for the elevator pitch, I was going to just give a long pitch about watching the original. So, well, also maybe I would recommend to a friend. Maybe I would ask them if they had thought about watching this. I would be like, hey, watch the this one. I'd watch the new one, 2018, first, and then watch the original, because I want to see how they feel about watching it the opposite direction, you know, ooh, or the option way. I want to see, like, how that would compare.
Because that's what we were saying. At the same time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Suspiria's 1977 is going to end, though, and you're going to be like, why is this going? Why is this the second movie? What's happening?
One's done and one's not done yet.
Yeah, I'm a very big, like, Lord of the Rings were long as a kid. I'm old school. I was like, why are these so long now? I don't know. I'm making a TV show if you're going to, I don't know.
You don't like eventually. That.
You know, think there's a Suspiria TV show?
Suspiria, a Netflix original. 10-part miniseries.
I couldn't even finish saying that. I knew exactly. As soon as I verbalized it. No. It's going to be in Salem. It's going to be on the nose.
Yes. And it's going to be like all like stereotypical horror movie style, like the haunted house and like,
and then
jump scares. Sarah,
yes. And Susie's character, I need to really solidify who they are in my head. Susie's character is going to be probably like Russian or something. Or they're going to bring her from Berlin over.
Americanize what is it. This? This is called the Harlem Shake.
No, we got to be a little bit up on our time. Well,
oh, TikTok dancing.
No. Yes.
this is called TikTok. TikTok.
Oh, okay, but like when you were saying like have an updated one where like you know the battles in yourself.
Yeah.
There is tech witches now. So like you use technology, you use spreadsheets. So like you could do a tech witch TikTok thing.
Her Excel sheet is haunted.
Oh my God! I have a movie for us to watch.
Is it Unfriended? The Dark Web. Is it Unfriended?
No. There's another one with like haunted internet. I'll send it your way if I can remember. God. Yes. So the first Suspiria was about vampires. The remake was about the war, and the third one's going to be about haunted spreadsheets. Cool. I can't wait.
My iPhone is haunted. Oh God, the witches are coming out.
Would that be so like spooky? Like you're going around with your light and then like it goes off. You're like, no, my phone. And then it's Blair Witch. You're stuck in the woods.
I mean, at this rate, the next Suspiria movie might be a comedy. What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, maybe. I actually haven't watched What We Do in the Shadows. Oh, like I know it, great. But
it's great. You'll love it.
I hear great things.
I think you know my response. I'll recommend the first movie.
Good.
Like if you want more, watch 2018. It's a little different. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I did enjoy expanding the lore. I wish it was a mystery longer that they're to confirm their witches. I think that that was a big strength of the first movie.
Right, because you didn't know what was happening. It's like, what's happening? Oh, they're witches.
Yeah. But with saying that it's Suspiria's story, it makes sense to know they're witches up front. Because then it is a good, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not letting go of the original and seeing this for what it is itself. And that's on me.
That's on you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hit you with two pieces of trivia with this. Mm-hmm. So Luca Guadagnino, and another Italian man, Dario Argento did the first one. Luca did the second one. The person that was originally attached to this project was the director that did the Halloween 2018 sequel.
Okay, so this why you think it's going to be a comedy? Because aren't those like comedies?
Those are not comedies.
Oh, okay.
Those are slasher movies.
Yeah, but some of them are kind of comedies.
The earlier ones. We don't talk about those.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just wonder how different this movie would have been if he was at the helm of that instead of Luca.
I haven't seen the 2018 Halloween?
2018, yeah.
I haven't seen that. My friends really like Halloween, so if you describe it a little bit, it might pop in my head. What's that one?
So it's a direct sequel from the 1978 Halloween. It takes place 30 years later, or 40 years later.
Oh, that kind of makes sense if they would want him, because that's like almost direct, like, the time periods are kind of right, you know, 77, 78.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah. And it was good. It was a good movie.
How were their colors? That's the important.
The colors are drab.
Oh.
But.
Okay.
There were Halloween colors still.
Okay.
I'm just thinking of like a story standpoint, because like what he did was, I don't know, he elevated the story in a way where it's taking this old character, Michael Myers, and then setting him in modern day and how that would work. While Suspiria is kind of a tread. It's like the same story going on, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of like, okay, what's the next step from this?
I think a modern Suspiria could play very well. Yeah. I'd like to see a modern Suspiria. And not like our jokey one in Salem with tech. I mean, there could be tech witches, but like, it would be cool. I don't know how old maybe they could set it up now, because like, Susie could have kids and then it's like Susie's daughter's running it, or, you know, descendants running it.
Oh my God. What could have been?
Yeah.
Oh, well. And I'm going to leave you with this. So we talked about Dakota Johnson, and she's like, she was so stellar in this movie.
Yes.
She said after filming Wrapped, like her going through that whole filming process, she said, fucked her up so much, she needed to see a therapist after concluding filming.
Wow.
I was like, no kidding. This movie was fucked up and crazy.
It was fucked up. I'm like trying to think like what Dakota Johnson's character went through. Like, she just kind of, like, it's not what happened. Nothing bad happened to her character, I guess. It's like, I wonder, she was probably there for filming and everything, but just like.
I mean, seeing people going like, whoa, 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 butt naked, covered in blood.
That's true.
In front of a huge statue of a god, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, I guess I'm just thinking of like, I mean, an acting standpoint, like what you're reading through, I guess, can totally get to you. But like, if I was like Sarah's character, or like Patricia, or Olga, I would, if I had to act, if that happened to my character as Olga, if I played Olga, I think I would need therapy. Be like, oh, seeing my body like that and on screen, you know?
What brings you in? Well, I played this character where they got folded 7 different ways.
Yeah, like, I hope she,
Peter
I hope
Pants.
Whoever played Olga never watches the movie for, like, her mind. Like, I could not survive that. No, I get that.
Yeah, that was rough. But yeah, Dakota Johnson was shook.
Yeah.
We were all collectively shook.
Good on her for getting help, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I highly recommend.
No joke. Well, Allie, we're at the end of the road, and we talked about Suspiria. Did you enjoy the movie?
Yes. It took me a while to get there, but I did. I think there was really good choices made, and it's definitely, you know, if there's some parts I didn't like, but that doesn't mean it didn't work and it wasn't right, you know?
Right. It's a solid movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It just wasn't my movie, but I definitely see the gems in it.
Is this a good Halloween movie?
Depends on your Halloween. Like, I wouldn't play this at a Halloween party because I think your friends might be like, I gotta go home. What are you watching?
Listen, I need to leave.
Yeah, this is definitely for your, like, your slasher horror, like, gory friends. Like, if you want to have a Halloween night and watch scary movies, yes, definitely.
Right.
Well, maybe, because this is a long one. Maybe if you can watch it, like, 1.5, yes. So you can get, if I have a Halloween night, I want, like, maybe three movies, you know?
Maybe have it on mute in the background during the party.
Yeah, you could. Well, I was just thinking, yes, you would want mute because, like, Olga screams, like, oof.
Ugh. Yeah.
That's yeah, fun. It was still not fun the second time. So, yeah. Like, you know it's coming and still, oh, gross. Poor Olga. Poor one out.
Poor Olga. Yeah. Well, I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was a good time. I think if you want to add it to your Halloween playlist, yeah, I think it's definitely deserving a spot, but I would say the original is more deserving.
The original would be really cool to play in the background at parties because I think it's more fun. I had a lot of fun talking about this one, but I feel like I felt more energized about the first one, like coming into our discussion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. We live and learn.
Yeah, we're off the fences. Liked it.
It was good. Yeah. Allie, it's time to conclude the show. You're not streaming anymore, are you?
I am not. I was thinking about getting back into it. I kind of want to play Final Fantasy 14 again and just be a Lalafell and just like craft and just like talk and craft. So like I'm thinking about that right now. But right now I'm just at home. Still, and I like juice boxes on Twitter, so I'm getting ahead of myself. And I got my little black cat, and she's my little darling, and I love her. And I wake up to feed her and love her every day.
Your little Sabrina.
Yep.
Sweet. Well, mm-hmm. I always enjoy talking with you, and I look forward to doing our Christmas movie with Aaron.
And I will watch it unless we specifically plan that we're going to watch it together. It'd be cute.
I'll make it very explicit.
So, well, it was like the first after pandemic, so I was like, oh, yeah, this could be so fun. And then I have a wild imagination.
I thought you said, never said that.
No, I know you never said. As soon as I went, oh, this is on me.
It was just a fever dream.
I was just too excited.
Well, Allie, until next time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye, everybody.
That's it for this time on The Syndicate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Keep the conversation going by adding us on Instagram and Letterboxd at Syndicate. Or join the Discord server where you can catch Armand along other podcasters and listeners at syndicate.com/discord. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.